Okay, folks, let's press on. You know, it's God's desire for us to forge ahead in our faith, to be growing to the glory of Jesus, to be in tune with His plans and His purposes for us. There's going to be distractions. Some of them are welcomed, some of them are not so welcomed, but the call is to press on. Now, I pray that you will be richly encouraged this morning to indeed press on, to run the race that Jesus has marked out for you and has also marked out for us collectively as a church family. And my prayer is that we will do this with the great joy that we are called to walk in and to celebrate. Yes, it's not just pressing on as though we are a defeated people. Yeah, we will go through trials and tribulations, that is a certain for sure. But it's about pressing on with the great joy to walk in the victory that is ours to walk in with full hope, knowing one day the Lord is returning. Amen? So if you would please turn with me, open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. This morning we're going to look at verses 12 to 17. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 17. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Our first point this morning is I will press on by realizing that my faith needs to continuously grow. Paul was clearly a spiritually mature and seasoned believer. But notice that he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. As a believer, I must never walk around thinking that I have it all together, that I have arrived to spiritual maturity. For this is quite often prideful thinking that would actually reveal that, well, if I think that, it's actually showing that I'm quite immature and I need to grow from that kind of thinking. Folks, none of us have arrived, and no church is the perfect example of what we are striving for in our Christlikeness. The reality is that we will never come to spiritual completion here on earth, but nonetheless, we are to be striving to throw off any defeated thinking, to throw off dust from those spiritual running shoes, and we are boldly called, we are commanded to press on. And don't forget from our first session in Philippians that one day this call to press on will no longer be valid. As chapter 1, verse 6 stated, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. But for now, this still applies. So we forge ahead in faith. We forge ahead in expectation of the work that Jesus wants to do in us as we await that glorious time of our completion of this spiritual marathon that we are in right now. Praise God, there will be a completion day. It's only when we move on from this life and come face to face with Jesus that our faith race will then be stamped completed. We did it. We made it to the end. Until then, there is much work that Jesus wants to do in every one of our lives as our faith is to be stretched. So always remember that your faith is to be stretched, because that's when we grow, and it's God's plan that we grow regardless of how much we've grown already. So whether you've been walking in a relationship with Jesus for 50 days or 50 years, that's really not relevant according to what we're learning here. There's a universal truth spoken forth here that there is so much more that the Lord wants to do in refining the faith of his believers. It's universal in the sense that it applies to everyone, every single believer. There's much more that God wants to do in our lives. Folks, if we don't heed the proper view of our spiritual lives and our need to keep growing and to keep anticipating our coming face to face with Jesus at that finish line, well, this is when we often become stagnant. This can lead us to lose focus. We can begin to feel overwhelmed in our struggles and with the incompleteness that is evident in this world. That will rob us of the joy of our faith as well. So we must protect the direction of our spiritual eyes. We must keep persevering. We must keep rejoicing in the coming finish line. And as verse 14 says, to press on toward the goal and win the prize. There is a goal, amen? And the Lord himself is that prize for us. Let's recognize that a foregoing of such thinking will promote a shrinking back instead of a pressing on. This is a very common and yet dangerous thought. There is new ground yet ahead for us, and it's not time to permanently rest. It's not time to spiritually retire. It's not time to step back in serving the Lord or to become weary in heading towards the goal and the resulting prize that awaits. Now imagine what this would look like from a different perspective. Let's take the example from the perspective of a human relationship, or more specifically, from, let's say, a marriage relationship. We'll illustrate this with Noah and Mackenzie. Thank you, Noah. They are set to be married in 34 more days. They're in the final stages of pressing on to that goal and the joyous blessing that awaits. Now imagine on that day after the wedding that they gave each other a high five and they said, well, that was great. I really enjoyed our ceremony. We are married now. I'm so glad we got to this point in our relationship. So I'll see you at our 25th wedding anniversary. God bless you. Take care. Maybe a side hug. We would be like, what is going on? This is the strangest thing in the world. You got married in order to now live out this relationship, to live it out every day for the rest of your life, to have each other as a daily companion at all times, to never shrink back or retire from marriage, to never become separated, except for maybe a short weekend, never be separated from this union until either death or the Lord returns. We get that. We understand that. That's normal. That's healthy. That's good. But you know, sometimes in our spiritual lives, we can do just that. We can shrink back from walking in a daily relationship with our Lord, a relationship where we are found communing with Him and growing closer to Him as we should. You know, but just like, for example, your baptism is not your time of spiritual graduation, you are to remember and then walk out that the day of completion and the call to press on is never, ever finished on earth. So again, whether you came to faith in Jesus last year, or maybe you were baptized 10 years ago, maybe you've been serving as a pastor for 40 years, maybe you have been faithfully communing with Jesus for 80 years. The same reality, the same calling right now today applies to every single believer. You aren't finished yet. You haven't crossed that finished line ribbon. You haven't reached the goal or grasped the prize yet. There is so much more communing and growing with our Lord. It's time to press on. You know, I'm curious, by even show of hands, who has been a believer here, say, more than 10 years? Fabulous. How about 20 years? Awesome. I better raise my hand too. How about 30? Fantastic. 40? 50? Okay, let's get up there. How about 60? Wow. How, Jane, do you know how many years? Can you do the, are you able to? 61 years. And how about you for you, Gwen? 62. Awesome. Wow. Isn't that fabulous? Praise the Lord. That is so encouraging. You know, what a blessing to see those who've been running the faith race 30, 40, 50, 60 plus years. Wow, keep it up. Keep pressing on. Apostle Paul, whom God used to write about half the New Testament, is sharing that there's so much more that Jesus wants to do in his life, and he has not arrived at spiritual completion. Folks, let's realize that Jesus has so much more to teach us and refinement that is needed, and also further plans to use us. There's so much more communing with him and also with each other that is yet ahead for us. Let's not become hazy in our view of Christ or our view of self. See, the closer we get to the light of the Lord, the closer we get to, say, even a physical light as it reveals what was in the darkness, the more we see those imperfections become clear. So I could dim this light and you would go, wow, that guy's good looking up there. And I could turn it a little brighter and you'd probably still think the same, but I'm just saying, for the vast majority of us, that's where you'll go, wow, there's wrinkles. I didn't see that with the dimmer lights. Oh, there's some blemishes there. There's a few things there that could use some improvement. It's showing age. And again, the closer we get to the Lord, it's normal that we see areas of our own lives where we go, hey, I wouldn't have recognized that 5 years ago. And that's an area where I've come to learn, where I need to grow and where I need refinement. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we should realize how glorious our Messiah is. He's the perfection of light. And we will also see that, well, I'm even more convinced now how wretched I am without him. Because the closer I get to him and see his perfection, the more I realize, whoa, I'm certainly not there. Spiritual maturity taking place is never weighed by the fact that I just don't see the many ways I need to be changing or refined. You know, that would be a distorted view of self. Because again, it's normal for us as we grow closer to the Lord to see more and more ways that of who he is and who we are next to him. A proper view of spiritual maturity taking place is something like this. As I look at my life over, say, perhaps the last few years compared to today, I can see some new and deeper ways that my faith in Jesus has impacted my life. So again, you won't see less evidence, you'll see greater evidence. I recognize my life is reflecting a greater worship, a deeper surrender, and a bolder trust. I recognize that my love towards others is improving. I'm learning to abide more frequently in self-control. I've been taking Jesus' way out of temptations and wrong paths. I also see a greater steadfastness and more stable joy in my faith. Again, this is all because you've grown. You've come to recognize that God's continuous refining work in your life. The measuring of our spiritual maturity increasing is really twofold. It's recognizing how much more you still need to grow and recognizing how much you've already changed. You know, when Spain led the world in the 15th century, their coins, their money coins, reflected their arrogant sense of perfection. On those coins was the inscription, "Ne plus ultra," which means nothing further. They thought that they had finally become the top nation on earth. They had conquered it all. Nothing more was to press on towards. They had arrived. Nothing further. Here's the problem. America hadn't even been discovered yet. And after it was, Spain realized, oh, wow. Wow, we were so dead wrong. There is so much more yet to be discovered. So they changed their coins to read plus ultra, which means more beyond. See, they had become arrogant. They had become stagnant without any future vision. Thankfully, upon learning of their tremendous error, they received that correction. They understood the call to now wake up. They were in error, and they forged ahead because there was so much more. Am I a nothing further Christian, or am I a more beyond Christian? Do I realize that there is still perhaps some absolutely massive areas that I still need to learn about, that I still need my eyes to open towards? Some that I may not know even exist right now, like America to Spain. Folks, it's God's will that my faith and your faith will soar on to new heights, to not miss out or become pridefully blind, to not become joyously stagnant, to not go to sleep, spiritually speaking, nor to just stumble along with a, well, I guess there's nothing more to discover attitude. Let's gain a greater spiritual maturity. Let's recognize our incompleteness and that there is way more that is still needed so we can see what is still yet to come in God's refining of our faith and the race yet ahead for us. I believe that it's in this response of pressing on that a childlike faith understands the real marks of maturity. See, children can't wait to become bigger. They often do it with excitement and anticipation. They want to grow. Now, visiting my grandma always involved this process. Okay, go hop on the scale in the bathroom, then tell me your weight, then come to the height wall chart, let's measure your increase, and then after the weekend, let's see how you got bigger, let's find out what weight you will be. Then I entered a rigorous routine of grandma's bread and all the goodies as a part of my growth routine for that weekend. Children also look at the examples of those who are older, and they seek to emulate what they see. Paul goes on in verse 17 to say, "Join with others in following my example." Paul was offering the encouragement of his example to help the believers in Philippi grow more mature. And remember that Paul himself was well aware of his own needed continued growth and the unfinished race that he was in. Now again, in other parts of the scriptures, he was suspecting that his finish line was coming very soon. But he's like, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. We also read in verse 17, "Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Are you excited to grow up, to learn in your faith? Do you come each Sunday morning excited to hear God's word, ready to praise Him, ready to encourage each other, ready to apply your faith and increase it throughout the week? Amen. I trust that we are growing in that area. Let's also take note of the good examples that are before us. There's lots of wonderful examples of people who are growing and pursuing this pressing on here in this congregation. Many of you are wonderful examples. May Jesus awaken you and I so that we are ready and excited and committed to letting him continuously grow our faith. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So folks, let's press on to new growth. Secondly, pressing on or shrinking back. Are you stuck in the past, or are you ready for today and the future? This will be our last point this morning. Are you stuck in the past, or are you ready for today and the future? Looking at the past will keep you from focusing on what God has for you today. Now, Paul had reasons to forget the past. Again, this isn't about ignoring the past. It's not being fine with unresolved conflicts. This is clearly not the context, and that would be bad advice, because not only does it not mesh with God's word, but that's not the clarity of what is being spoken about here. It's God's guidance that our past and that sinfulness and brokenness gets dealt with, to not sweep it under the rug or push through in choosing just to let it all go. That would be a dysfunctional approach and not healthy. This context here is about not becoming forever stuck now because of our past. These past failures where we have come before the Lord and we've pursued his forgiveness and healing, they are no longer to weigh us down, nor define us, nor have any right to stop us from pressing on right now today in a confident faith. And praise God that we aren't even void of becoming a good example at that point. We actually can be a very good example, even if in the past we were a very poor example. If you remember from Acts chapter 7, Paul held the coats of those who stoned to death the first Christian martyr, Stephen. You know, we all have done things in the past that we are ashamed of, that we wish we didn't do. If there was a giant screen replaying our most fleshly and lowest moments, we'd all put our heads down in shame. Some of us might even run out the side doors, never looking back, or just hope to quietly sneak through the back doors and hopefully no eyes see us. On top of this, there are also many people who have had bad things done to them. And in some instances, that was absolutely no fault of their own. These are very real, painful memories. Sometimes these things also keep a person from moving forward. Folks, Jesus is a healer. He is the one who sets us free so that we can run again, that we can press on towards God's plans for us. In Jesus, we are not only free, but we are firmly instructed here to let go of the past. All your sin, all your guilt, all your regret, all your pain, all your blame, all that you've ever done, and all that has ever been done to you as well. The believer is to give all their past to Jesus. And let me clarify that forgetting has nothing to do with losing memory. It's rather choosing to leave it settled in full at the cross, to be done with forever. If you or I want turmoil or struggles and constant stumbling in our life, well, it's pretty easy. Just keep bringing up the past after it's already been dealt with. Now, this is a wrong approach because forgiveness is a serious matter, and there are fruits of bitterness and a lack of true fellowship and communion that takes place in us if we think it's okay to be remembering the past and holding it in a certain sort of way as we've already dealt with it. See, when we settle something before Jesus, then it's done. If it's settled before Jesus, we've made it right, where that person's come to us and made it right, it's done. It's over. It's final. It's been dealt with. It is never, ever to be brought up again. It's done. The devil would love to keep you from moving forward by simply trying to keep you looking backwards. And if you've dealt with a past hurt, if you've forgiven someone or you've asked for forgiveness over something you needed to repent of, it's not to be brought up again. We are to let go of the emotions that may struggle at times to resurface, but it's been dealt with. It's time to let it go. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean there's not going to be some bumps in the road and some days where you wake up and go, oh, it's a painful memory. But folks, I will tell you, it's a dangerous path to take. When we forgive someone or we ask for forgiveness and that's been reconciled, then it's done. Again, if you have settled your own sin with Jesus through repentance, then don't let it define you. Don't let it weigh you down for one more second. Let the past go, or you won't truly be living for God today. See, here's what's effectively going on if we remember the past after things have been settled before God. It means we haven't given it to Jesus, where he has then nailed it to the cross. And in essence now, what we are doing in that approach is that it's as though we were going before that cross again now, and we were ripping off what is no longer ours to hold on to and actually is the possession of Jesus. He took that upon the cross. We don't go back there now and say, give that back to me, I'm ticked off today. We don't do that. We let the past go. Whether it's what you've personally done or what someone has done to you, it belongs on the cross, and that's the wonderful healing that is ours to behold through confession of sin and the healing restoration of repentance. Now again, I want to clarify, we are talking about things that have appropriately, biblically been dealt with before the Lord. See, I point this out because I spoke in this passage one other time, it was about 12 years ago, and I guess I wasn't clear enough, and one fellow came up to me later that week and says, you know, I was struggling with that message, and, you know, I got this guilty conscience of something I did years ago, and whenever God convicts me, I just push it off, and I just don't feel right about pressing on. And so I got to sit down with him and says, well, for good reason, let me go through the context. I apologize for not being clear, but here's the context of what we are talking about, things that are dealt with before the Lord. So praise the Lord, he went back, actually took that opportunity to go back after many years, and he went and made something right that he hadn't repented of. So if you haven't dealt with your past or a sin before Jesus, you need to do that. This is not Paul saying, you know what, guys, let's just start as clean slate and let's just forget about all that. Let's just start here today and, you know, just sweep that off to the side. Let's just move on. No, that's not the context. This is about those who have dealt with their sin before Jesus and now they're struggling. And there's no biblical basis for them to be holding on to what God has forgiven for and brought healing to. You know, the only way to truly put the past to rest and our sin, or those who've sinned against us and have it fully dealt with, is before the Lord Jesus. And then once you've surrendered your past to Jesus, never ever look back. Don't let the devil taunt you. Don't make him doubt. Don't reopen what has been locked away. Move on. It's done. Never look back. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You know, I've had many people come to me over the years, and what's killing their faith today and what's scheduled to kill their faith tomorrow is an event of the past that just keeps resurfacing because they have never learned to fully let it go, to let Jesus wash them clean from their own guilt. In some cases, it's the flip side. They've never learned what it means now to be free from the bitterness towards someone who hurt them badly. Folks, forgiveness is a serious matter. It's true, some people just need to forgive themselves, and some hold on towards unforgiveness towards others when they shouldn't. Again, we aren't talking about whitewashing sins. We're not choosing to just move on without God's instructions or a void of repentance, because there is no forgiveness to behold in those scenarios. We are talking about the person who has genuinely confessed their sins to Jesus, who has sought the grace of the cross, who have now been granted that request, and on the authority and the power of Jesus' blood, they are not to shrink back from forgiving themselves. You know, think about that. Jesus has forgiven you. You have no basis and certainly no need to not forgive yourself now. You need to let it go. Now, here's some wonderful news regarding that second application where someone has hurt you. While it's true that God's restoration and the healing of a broken relationship requires repentance, it's wonderful that the process of choosing to walk in a spirit of forgiveness and gaining that needed healing in your life only requires your decision. Meaning, you can't solve a past issue if someone isn't ready, if someone isn't wanting to admit what they've done. You can't find God's, you can't find restoration in that scenario. But you can find God's healing for your life through releasing the burden into the hands of Jesus. That is why, for example, people who have been abused can still find Jesus' powerful healing forgiveness in their life, even if restoration sadly isn't an option. It could be a refusal to repent. It could be that someone has passed away and, well, how do I do that now? They're no longer here. It's not an option. Well, forgiveness and healing in your life is still available, and it very much so is an option. It's wonderful, the ministering work of the Holy Spirit and the release of pain and burdens at the cross. Restoration is not always available. Don't give up on it, but certainly healing and forgiveness is available. If there's something in your past that is bogging you down today, I certainly would like to offer to meet with you if you would find that helpful. And we will let the Lord settle it once and for all as we go through His Word and we pray together. Jesus has all the power and all the authority to wash people clean, to make you whiter than snow. He will wash away the sins you committed. He will wash away the sins that were committed against you. Jesus' blood is the answer that we all need to get over the past and to start looking forward in a fresh and joyous faith. So Paul is directing this congregation in Philippi, strain towards what is ahead. The speech Paul is using here is the terminology in the athletic realm. It correlates to a runner that is giving it his all. He's leaving no energy behind. And like we just saw with the, or like we see with the Olympics, with all the eyes on those end ribbons, this terminology here is literally about, like, leave nothing left. When you get to that line, oh, you're a huffing and a puffing because you gave it your all. You stretch out your body, do whatever possible to get to that finish line as soon as possible to touch that ribbon and get through. That's what he's saying. You strain. You strain. You're pressing on and straining towards what is ahead. Let's be aware that the focusing on that prize we talked about in our first point is dependent on our willingness to surrender the past. See, we're not going to be good runners striving to stretch out and cross that line if we haven't dealt with that first point, surrender the past. If your hands are full because you're hanging on to your past, guess what you can't do? Well, you can't effectively receive a gift or take hold of a prize. Why? You're already hanging on to something. You got to let it go. You can't properly hold on to what Jesus wants to give you today if your hands are still grasping onto something from yesterday. You know, even in a gathering this size, I'm confident that there are people here this morning that need to stop letting themselves get bogged down. The regret of yesterday, the disappointment of a failure, the struggle that has weighed you down, that painful memory, hurtful moment, the reality of brokenness. Folks, today has now arrived. It's time to release it to Jesus. It's time to be moving on in faith. It's time to reclaim the joy that has been robbed from you, and Jesus wants to place back into your hands. Don't let the devil succeed another day in getting you to look backwards. Don't let the regrets, the pain, the bitterness, the guilt kill you and keep robbing you over and over and over again. Will you let it go today? Well, today, what is it, November 12, 2023? Will that be a day that you laid it down at the altar and said, Jesus, I give it to you. I leave it in your hands, and I leave it there permanently. I will strain towards what is ahead for me. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, Jesus loves to pick up people who are stuck in the mud. He loves to wash their feet of their dirtiness. He likes to get them ready for today, hopeful of his future for them, filled with joy, walking forward. I wasn't sure how I was going to end this morning, but I'd like to end this way, is just call you to come forward for prayer. If there's something that you need to let go so that you can run forward in joy and forge ahead, if there's something that you need to make right with the Lord, or something of your past that is a painful memory that has been bogging you down. You know, we don't need fancy music. We don't need any other pleas from up here. You know, I don't need to prod you any more than to simply remind you that God's word has spoken this morning, if you believe it to be true and that it was accurately handled and it applies to your situation, then come. We can start now. Just come forward, take a moment to pray up here, and to release it to the Lord Jesus. So I officially invite you to come do that. Father, we thank you that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we pray in unity with any of us this morning who have released things to you and come to you for healing, forgiveness. Lord, we stand on the authority of your word and we proclaim their freedom because of the blood of Jesus. We pray now, Lord, that those things be locked away. They're done with. They're on that cross, and Lord, they've been washed clean. And Lord, I pray that you will powerfully impart within them the conviction to leave it in your hands. To proclaim now their freedom, to proclaim now that they have a race to run. Those burdens and heavy backpacks have been let go, and they're free to run now with joy, with smiles on their faces, and with the perseverance and anticipation and excitement that one day they're going to cross that finish line. Lord, for each of us here this morning, we pray that we will run the race marked out for us, that we'll do it with tremendous amounts of joy. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.